evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 31st of August. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear. More importantly, they will show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy. We talk to Justin Cahill, the new manager at Rod and Reel Tackle. Our freshwater reporters check in, and we will finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Some fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next new moon is on the 10th of September. A new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does it mean? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. So start planning your trip away now, 10th of September. Remember the saying, new moon fisherman's favourite, full moon fisherman's folly. Many rivers have closed now and it is prohibited to fish them. Different regions have different rules and it is the angler's responsibility to know the regulations and to have a current licence. The best way to do this is to go to the Fish and Game website, fishandgame.org.nz, select the region you wish to fish. All the information is quickly and freely available. You can also order your new season licence online now. Remember that if you're fishing the Taupo Tūrangi region, you will need a separate licence, and the season start and finish dates are different. All the information for the Taupo Tūrangi fishery is on the Department of Conservation website, doc.govt.nz. The annual Lower Waikato River Trout Competition is coming up again. The dates this year are Saturday, 6 October, until Saturday, 13 October. And as always, this is during the school holidays, so plenty of kids can participate. The fishing area is from the base of the Karapiro Dam to the Waikato Heads, a huge amount of water to fish. Entry fees, $35 per adult, $15 for juniors under 17, and there is over $6,000 worth of prizes spread over adults, juniors and women's sections. How do you enter? Easy. Contact details are Michael Lynch. Michael's on 027-621-4207. 027-621-4207. The August edition of Reel Life is out now. Reel Life is put out by Fish and Game New Zealand and is free to your email inbox. How do you get it? Well, you just go to the Fish and Game website, fishandgame.org.nz, and click on Reel Life. That's Reel as in Rod and Reel. Reel Life magazine covers all freshwater fishing in New Zealand. Now, we've also had a letter from Fish and Game and the Ministry of Primary Industries. It's headed, Lake Snow Spreads. Only weeks from the start of the new freshwater fishing season, the invasive pest lake snow has been discovered in more North Island lakes. In midwinter, it was confirmed the microscopic algae, known as Lindavia intermedia, has been found in the Waikato and Manawatu Whanganui regions for the first time. In the South Island, the algae has developed into mucus-like strings known as lake snow or lake snot. While it is not a known health threat, it can clog fishing and boating equipment. The algae is already confirmed in Lake Taupo, Lake Rotoaira and Lake Waikeremoana. Testing by Horizons and Waikato Regional Council have now found it in three other Waikato lakes, Karapiro, Ohakuri and Waipapa. although the pest's abundance is said to be low. Fish and Game says the discovery is unwelcome and is urging all its fishing and hunting license holders to be vigilant, cleaning their equipment after a day out on the water. It is also urging anglers to report anything that looks like lake snow to the Ministry for Primary Industries Pest Hotline 0800 99 66. Now, the check, clean and dry methods we're familiar with for Didymo are also appropriate to prevent the spreading of Lindavia intermedia. So keep an eye out for that. That's bad news, isn't it? Okay. If you have any comment about fly fishing or any reports about fly fishing, you can email col.pam@extra.co.nz and we will put them on air for you. Okay. Let's look at some weather with Met Service. For those interested in saltwater fly fishing, the Auckland Marine Forecast. The situation. A deepening low moves southeast of the country today, then a narrow ridge moves east across the country on Saturday. Another broad trough crosses the country on Sunday, followed by southwesterlies on Monday. The forecast for Manukau and Waitemata harbours. Saturday, southwest 10 knots developing warning, becoming northwest 15 knots, but 20 knots about the outer gulf later, partly cloudy. The forecast for Sunday, northwest 15 knots, but 20 knots about the outer gulf, easing to northwest 15 knots everywhere in the morning, showers. If you're fishing in the Waikato region, Saturday, partly cloudy with fog possible in the morning, light winds. Sunday in the Waikato, early rain followed by showers with northerlies turning westerly. Rotorua. Good evening, anglers down there. The forecast for Saturday, partly cloudy, light winds. Rotorua on Sunday, showers developing early morning with northwesterlies. If you're in the Taupo region, Saturday, partly cloudy, light winds. Sunday in the Taupo region, early rain followed by showers with northerlies turning westerly. Now, if you're up and over the hill into Taumarunui, Saturday, partly cloudy with areas of fog in the morning, light winds. Sunday in Taumarunui, early rain followed by showers with northerlies turning westerly. For our South Island listeners, the Canterbury Plains region, Saturday, becoming fine early morning, but cloud increasing again from afternoon. Northeasterlies developing. Sunday on the Canterbury Plains, mainly fine with northeasterlies turning northwest during the afternoon. Overall, looks pretty good for Saturday. Rain on Sunday, or at least showers on Sunday. Thanks to Met Service for that. Now, let's look at some river levels. The Puniu River above Sea Fun Road is closed, but downstream of Sea Fun Road is open all year, and the Puniu's 23 kilometres south of Te Awamutu. It's currently at 10.06 metres. It's flowing at 26 cubic metres per second, too fast to fish, dirty. Mangatutu River is closed, remember, don't go there. The Ohinamuri, measured at Karangahaki between Pairoa and Waihi, is at 12.3 metres and falling. It's flowing at 15 cubic metres per second. That's down from a high of 66. The Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.42 of a metre. That is well down on last week. The Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is at 76.1 metres and rising, and it's flowing at 23 cubic metres per second, dirty, too fast to fish. The Nongataha River, measured at State Highway 5, is at 1.02 of a metre. That's high for this river. Whakapapa River's closed, don't go there. The Whanganui River, measured at Puriaka, is at 26 cubic metres per second. That's down from a high of 69 cumex this week. And the Tongariro, measured at Turangi, is at 32 cubic metres per second, down from a high of 45 this week. As we said before, the forecast is good for Saturday. Enjoy the fishing. Be careful when wading. Thanks to Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council, and Genesis Energy for the information. Excellent website, real-time monitoring. Thank you. Okay, we're going to have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports.
It's raining today, and I'm just about to forget the train window girl, that wonderful day we met. She smiles through the smoke. It's raining today.
You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. It's raining today. It certainly was this afternoon. Beautiful morning in Auckland, but coming up the motorway to the radio station this evening, it was hosing down. Anyway, Bert Robinson, he's not worried about that. He lives in Rotorua. And Bert is a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer-time Rotorua angler. Bert is an expert angler, don't you worry about that. And that is exactly why we want to talk to him on a Friday before you fish the weekend. Good evening, Bert.
Evening, Colin.
You got a bird in the background there?
Yeah, it's just on twilight here. It's got a beautiful blue sky. It was 15 degrees here and quite hot. It was a lovely day, actually. I almost got a sweat off at work.
We can't have that, Bert.
Yeah, it was raining in Hamilton too most of the day, so we got off lightly this time, but previous 2 days to that were pretty wet.
Okay.
Increased levels in some of the lakes. They've opened the gates at the Kaituna to 1,200, which is around about 39 cumex, which is quite a bit of water coming through there. But two intrepid anglers from over Te Puke Way went down there today, and between the two of them landed 14, so they were quite happy with that, all on the nymph.
Gosh, that is good, isn't it?
Yeah, so they were quite impressed with that, and that was only the short area from control gates down to the steps, basically.
Very good. Now, your forecast is pretty good for tomorrow, then rain on Sunday.
Yeah, it's looking that way. We could do without the rain. We've certainly had more than our share, as most places have, and it's blown the rivers out a wee bit. We had 30 millimetres of rain come through a couple of days ago, and yeah, it's made it pretty soggy. But thick fog, and sometimes in the mornings, and I Auckland Airport got hit with fog this morning, so that wasn't too good. Cancelled a few flights, but you certainly got to be careful when you're driving around and that sort of thing, because you can end up not being able to go fishing for a while, if ever, if you don't watch yourself.
Well, dangerous conditions on the road, you need to be careful, yeah, correct.
Absolutely.
That's right. I fished Ruri for Kaitu some years ago. I got there at about 5, maybe quarter past 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The thickest fog you've seen.
Oh, yeah, it's shocking out there. That's one of the worst places for fog around. I'm not entirely sure why. It is quite flat. It doesn't seem to be a lot of... there's big wetlands there too, of course, but and that may contribute. And Rotomar, not that far away, of course.
Yeah.
But, there's no peat lakes like in the Waikato, where you get a lot of the dampness coming out of the soil. And you can make driving conditions pretty horrendous. We do get black ice over here. I think we might be in for a bit of a frost tonight.
Okay.
It's been clear all day. The temperature, as I say, was about 15 degrees, but it is dropping quite quickly.
Okay.
Fluffy clouds in the sky and virtually no wind, and that's generally a sign that we're going to get a bit of a nip.
Yes.
So our worst is 3.9, minus 3.9. frost, but we could have another fairly good one by the morning.
Okay.
But, you know, the fishing's still worthwhile out here for quite a bit of time of the year. It's fishing well. Okaro, Napuri, while you're out in that area, is certainly worth dropping into and having a look. There's still fish cruising around the edges and occasionally coming in to spawn still. So it's not looking too bad, but one of the biggest problems we've got is there's been a huge explosion in the catfish population. They've moved up through the Ohau Channel and heading up into Lake Rotorua, but I believe there's also a population down the other side of Hamarana into Fry's Road. There's a little creek in there, and apparently they were there about the same time as they found them in Rotowiti. So there's that mess to contend with. And, of course, they can live up to about 8 years old. And a female can produce between 10 and 10,000 live offspring. It's a hell of a nuisance having them here. They're trying like hell to eradicate them, but unfortunately we see what's happened in Taupo, and I just don't see it being able to happen, but they're certainly doing their best at the moment. It was up on catch rates in the areas and in the areas that they have not found them in before was up 70% on the previous year, so there's certainly a hell of a lot of them around. So we do have to be very careful about where we're fishing and transferring some bits and pieces, including aquatic weed. We have lakes around the area, and that's why we've got weed cordons on all the lakes at the boat ramps, and that's to stop the transference of noxious aquatic weeds into lakes that don't currently have them. And they check the weed cordons every now and again to see if there's any growth of noxious weeds in the lakes that don't have them.
Yeah. I just got a letter today from Fish and Game and the Ministry of Primary Industries about what they call lake snow or lake snot. Is now confirmed in Taupo, Rotorua, Waikere Moana, Karapiro, Ohakuri, and Lake Waipapa.
Well,
yeah,
it's going to hit here pretty soon.
Well, that's a bloody shame, isn't it? Well, Karapiro.
Well, it is too. You know, I mean, Karapiro is great fishing. Waipapa is great fishing. And it's going to get transferred around. I mean, it's only Waipapa is only a hop, skip, and a jump from here to Rotorua, and people dropping in. There's some fantastic fishing at times below the Waipapa Dam in particular. So it'll be, if it's in Waipapa, it'll be in Arapuni, it'll be Karapiro, it'll be right through the system by now. And we'll transfer upstream. We've already got koi in Lake Atiamuri in our area, and quite large ones too. So they're slowly making their way up. But eventually, I believe that they'll hit Taupo as well, and that's going to be even more devastating.
There's a lake in the North Head up past Helensville. I can't remember the name. I used to fish it years ago, but that someone released perch and tench or perch and rudd or something in there many, many years ago, and just ruined the whole bloody thing.
Yeah, well, what happens with perch, of course, is they can expand their mouth, and so they can take a larger size fish than normally they would be able to if they had the fixed bones in the mouth. And I know Auckland Waikato were putting in fish there at as two-year-olds and tried to keep the population up. I fished it a few times in an absolutely beautiful lake.
Yes.
A bit of a trip to get to, even, you know, from Hamilton, where I was at the time. So, but, yeah, the fish are being moved around and not being moved around by birds and stuff like that. I believe it's actual human interference. There was a guy prosecuted many years ago who was putting perch, tench and rudd all over the place, and that's how rudd got through that system. Perch have already been here in New Zealand. They're one of the first fish to come. Common carp, crucian carp, all those were in New Zealand long before trout were here. That's what the English did. In fact, they brought all sorts of things over into the New World as they saw New Zealand at the time, and Australia as well.
Yes, and made a few cock-ups along the way.
Oh, there, absolutely. So. And you know, and then we got these other people who, for whatever misguided reason, tend to do that as well. They move things around they shouldn't. I did hear of golden roach, which is a very popular coarse fishing fish in ponds north of Auckland or west of Auckland, and it's a closely guarded secret to where the location is. Even I don't know where it is, but if Doc found out about that, they'd just go and rotate down the whole lake, and there'd be no ends or sort of buts, and that's why they keep it very quiet.
Is that right? Goodness me. Yes. Okay, now, let's talk about the fishing in your region. Streamer fishing at night time, is that going off yet?
There should be. Yeah, it has been, but well, as I say, we've had some pretty heavy rain, so the rivers and streams have blown out a wee bit, but it's certainly worth a look. Andy Fenway has been producing a few fish, and of course, with the 1st of October not that far away, there will be the upper reaches of the, what's the big tributary in there? The Horamunga is one that will be open on October 1. Quite a few of them. There's another one, Tahuna Natra. There's another lovely fishing stream that's on the Aotearoa Rotorua Road, and you cross over it as you go either way. Beautiful bit of water up through there. They've cleared the willows out and done a bit of replanting in places, and it's a lovely little stream. For those that know, it'll be on a par with, say, the Mangatutu or similar to that in size, and certainly worth a look. So, you know, there are areas of streams that are going to be open to fish in this region fairly soon. But you've got the Ngongataha, the Waitati, and the Utahina. All have been holding fish. All have had fresh fish come in. The browns are pretty much not moving much out of the lake. They're hanging back and won't be available in the streams as much, not in any great numbers until November. And be November, December, January, they'll be back in full force, so we've a little way to wait for that. But you got out the front of the Ohau Channel, fishing very, very well, below the control gates, and that's directly below the control gates. So the guys are going into the car park there, dropping down the steps, walking up along a ledge on the side, it's on the true left bank, and running nymphs through there and picking up some really, really good fish. The upper above the control gates opens on October 1st. It's a bit of a hammering for the first couple of months, and then it warms up a bit and they tend to disappear back into the lake. There's a bigger fish, lots of small fish. Of course, the Ohau Channel will open on the 1st, so it wouldn't surprise me for people to start catching catfish in there shortly. They're in reasonable numbers, apparently. They're electrofishing, they're trapping, they're doing everything they can to get rid of them, but it's pushing the proverbial thing up a hill.
Yes, it's a tricky thing, all right. Excellent work, thank you, Bert. Now, lake level's still high with your recent rain, I suppose?
Got worse. For those lakes that don't have an outlet, they've certainly got a lot worse. 30 millimetres of rain is a huge amount of water to go somewhere, and it'll go to the nearest depression, and of course in places like Rio Fakaru, there's quite a lot of runoff into those lakes. Caro's the same, although it does have a little outlet that goes out to Waimanga Valley. Anifina, of course, that would have got choked up. The problem with Anifina is well down the river, and the river starts way up in the up towards the Dendalani on the Taupo, on the Napier.
Napier Taupo Road.
Taupo, over the Taupo Way. It starts way down that end. Not in Taupo, but certainly up in that same range. And it's a long river, so they can have a huge amount of rain out there, nothing here, and all of a sudden the Rangitaki's running a fair chunk of colour through it. So.
That's right, yeah. And Anifina was pretty bloody shallow the last time I was there, anyway.
Well, it did a lot of dredging at the top end, and that certainly did, it knocked the fishing around a little bit to start with, but after a while it came back fairly quickly once the insects had recolonised and stuff like that. So it's worth a look. It's very similar to the lake at up by Ruapehu, that very famous Otamanako Lake.
Oh, yes. Okay.
They dredged that out in the canal and everything, and there's always infill on these lakes. The minute you put an obstruction in the way, silt starts building up behind it, and it's surprising how much silt a river can actually carry and discharge into the sea. And the longer the river, of course, the worse it is, and the Rangitaki is certainly one that is a long river and carries quite a sediment load. Even though it looks clear, it still has some sediment loading in it.
Yeah, very good. Understand. Now, before we wrap up, Bert, where would Bert Robinson be fishing this weekend in the Rotorua region?
Well, the gates are supposed to close down to about 300 or 500 tomorrow, so that'll be the rafters back on deck again. But if you're out there before 9, if I decide to get up early enough and slip out, I do have to be at work again tomorrow at 8:30, so it'd have to be fairly early. And I'd fish there or late in the afternoon, probably from about 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly worth a look there. Drifting a nymph in the big backwater and at the end of Trout Falls Road, and that big backwater in there. That's always worth a look. Seen rising fish in there, so or I might even go and fish in Ngongataha Stream in the village, and just run a weighted nymph and a grey ghost or woolly bugger with a bit of sparkle in it, and just drift it down through the pool directly under the road bridge in Ngongataha. There's some fantastic fishing can be had there after dark, usually from about 8:30 onwards.
There's a tip, Angus. Get there first before Bert Robinson. Good boy. Excellent work. Thank you, Bert. Do appreciate that. Now, your contact details, please.
Yeah, I'm on 027-289-6079, and just give us a call and I'll update you on what's happening down here.
Well, there's the offer, Angus. Bert Robinson, Rotorua Fishing, 027-289-6079. Bert, we do appreciate it. Thank you. Catch you next week.
All right, I'll be here somewhere.
Thank you, Bert.
Okay,
see ya.
Bye.
Bert Robinson, 027-289-6079. Okay, quick break, and then we'll try and get hold of Justin Cahill.
Ocean's done.
Hi, you're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. So I've had an awful lot of trouble getting hold of Justin. I've had several attempts. In the meantime, we're going to try again, but in the meantime, we're going to talk to Stella Gordon. I'm just going to put her online now. Stella Gordon is a long-time resident of the Taupo Turangi area, and Stella is an expert on fishing the rivers and lakes of the Central Plateau. Stella, as always, is live on air with us now. Good evening.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good. You're well?
We're great, thank you.
Okay.
Fantastic day today. Beautiful day. Spring day.
Well, that's good. And your forecast is pretty good for tomorrow, a bit cloudy on Sunday, I think, yes. It's not too bad.
I think, yeah, fingers crossed that we may be on the cusp, so hopefully it'll be good.
Okay. Now, what's happening to the fishery down there, please?
Once again, we've had a tremendous amount of rain, and it all obviously it spikes at the same time, as you can well imagine. So we've had a couple of clear days, but we've also had some very wet, no wind, but just very wet days, which have brought rivers up once again and made fishing a little bit more challenging as such. But certainly today, the little bit of rain that we've had overnight has actually etched through the rivers and cleared. And now for the next couple of days or three, I'm sure there'll be some fantastic fishing. It's been a little challenging. We've certainly had, with that rain, bringing just so much in the water table, and also the lake level has meant that crossing rivers has been difficult, and for some it's been quite hard trying to find out where those fish are. And that pertains to the Tongariro, you know, Waimarino, Waitaka, Titi, Hanimaia, Waitanui, the whole... all the numbers of the rivers. It's just one of those things. It just seems to be that we are still in that constant wet throes and constantly getting rain, which keeps those river levels up. And the difficulty is, in actual fact, is if you're not fishing on a regular basis, is actually trying to find out where those fish are holding. There's no lack of fish. It just is that those fish are holding in quite different places. So, as I always say, it's just a matter of canvassing the water to find out where they are. But we look now forward for the next two or three days without rain, and if that is the case, we certainly should have some levelling out, which means that those fish will move unimpeded, and it will be great for those that are on the water.
Yes, I know. People have taken 4 to 5 days off, and they're down there now, and yes, and the fishing's all, the reports are very good still.
Oh, it's surprising, really. We just have had, you know, such consistent rain, which over the last now 2 or 3 years has allowed the rivers to stay fairly consistent in volume and colour, and which means that those fish have moved, as I said before, unimpeded. The difficulty has been, though, that with rivers rising and dropping away quite quickly at times, it has been harder for some of the anglers to read the conditions. But as I've said, it's been a matter of, you know, there are just so many fishermen here at the moment. It just simply has been unbelievable over the last 3 or 4 weeks,
yeah.
But certainly over the last couple of weeks. The fact that you've got, you know, the mountain as well, where you've got some, you know, the mountains have been fantastic, and there's just so much really that you're actually able to do at the moment, so most people are taking advantage of that. The hardest thing is though, that we have had throughout the day, you know, quite clear days, but then we've had quite significant amounts of rain at night, which then makes it a little bit more challenging. The Tongariro, luckily, obviously, being hydro-controlled, and also the Hanimaia, they have probably not suffered quite so much as the other catchment-fed rivers, but that's just the way life is, and you just have to adjust your fishing to, you know, really the conditions that prevail on the day.
That's right. Now, you made a very good point a couple of minutes ago about wading. I read somewhere in the last week or so that someone pulled a fisherman out of the river. He'd been swept 400 metres downstream somewhere in the Tongariro.
I know. I have. There's been some horror stories. I mean, it's not only the Tongariro. It's also the TT, where I think perhaps in the TT's case, the telemetry station is not reading correctly, which is really of a major concern. And so, therefore, where you have a perception of what may be 0.700, and you feel quite comfortable in the past having been able to cross, but because the catchment has just got so much water, and that is water table as well as lake level, it means that there is just simply so many more cumex in all these rivers, and so therefore the rivers are not dropping away as one would expect. People are trying to cross, and also the bottoms of these rivers change so rapidly, often with even, for example, the Charangatopo moving 40 to 50,000 cubic metres of shingle at any one time over, you know, a 24-hour period. So therefore, the bottom changes so readily, and people are, it is amazing, it's like people who drive 120 Ks, it's just people are prepared to take that risk, whereas in actual fact, honestly, I think a very, very long time ago, I learned that if you fish your feet, you will always catch more fish. It's got absolutely nothing to do with what's on the end of the line, but it's the type of water that you're actually physically fishing. And so being little and being mindful of that, I've probably been particularly blessed. For those that perhaps have a little bit more stature and size, it means that they have a perception that they can enter the water and cross. And it, as you say, that person who was picked up 300 or 400 metres downstream, there must have been a God looking after them that day, because really, in reality, I have certainly been on the TT where there was an example of a person who tried to cross wearing a backpack. He slipped, and that backpack slipped him, and it was, it took physically all my strength to be able to actually hold him. He would have drowned.
Yes, gosh.
It's just not worth taking the risk. Yes. That's the, you know, the most sensible solution, but people still do.
Be very careful when wading, because the rivers, as you say, the bottoms can change very, very quickly. And what was fine on Tuesday might be a big hole on Thursday.
So another thing too is, it is really interesting, because I mean, we naturally talk to people all day, every day. Yes. And it is incredible. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I don't perceive to know any more than anyone else does, but in reality, having been as little as I am, and I don't have height or weight, so therefore I don't cross, and therefore I fish totally different water to what most people do. So in doing that, I've found that by fishing 2 or 3 inches deep, a riffle that is often only a metre deep, that is where the fish are. And it's been so fantastic for my fishing. I've learned a very long time ago that canvassing, you know, a certain amount of water well, and not entering into that heavy, busy water, has always been better for me. So yes, in reality too, sometimes it's just a lesson learned, and from that you find that your fishing improves.
Okay, I understand. We've just been talking to Bert Robinson, Rotorua, and he sees it a lot. People wade out bloody miles from stream mouths, and the fish come in behind them.
I know, I've learned that so many times. In fact, I was fishing in the Tongariro early in the year, where there were 3 people that were fishing above me, all whom we know quite well, and I was fishing, I mean, literally, my feet were being just washed by the water that I was actually standing in, and I think I caught a fish within 1 or 2 casts, which sounds very pompous, but that is often what happens, and then having released that, moved a couple of paces and 2 or 3 casts again, maybe almost directly another fish, and having spoken to the 3 people above me who chatted and said, you know, what's going on? Can you? And so, what are you using? So I naturally actually took it off and gave. I went through the 3 customers. They were, gave them a different pattern. They continued to fish, and then I just said to them, look, it's time for me to go. I've only got an hour. I'm not meant to be here. I'm off. See you. And they said, they came out of the water to actually have a little bit of a kōrero, which we did, and strangely enough, it was amazing. We chatted about what was going on, and they said, well, what's it? What is it? What's different? What's, we had the same length of leader, basically the same weighted nymph. There was nothing that was any different. But the fact was that I was actually fishing to the fish that were running behind them.
Yes.
And I don't know how many times that has happened. Yes. That doesn't matter. Sometimes people don't talk to you and don't chat. But in actual fact, it was great. And, of course, by the time I'd left and as I drove away, they were into the fish. And it was something that those fish were running fish, taking the top nymph rather than the bottom nymph, moving through the lies, and they were standing on them. I don't say that everyone does that, but it's often the case. And as Bert says about river mouths, I am, once again, I never fish down the throat of a stream mouth. I always fish off the edge. I usually throw a piece of pumicin to find out where the rip's going, yep, and I go 20 or 30 paces upwind, rather than, obviously if the wind is going in a northerly direction, which is towards Taupo, I go on the northern side. If it's going in a southerly direction, I go over the stream to the southern side, and I often go 20 paces down away from anyone else. I cast 100 metres max, or 50 metres, and count to 100 and then retrieve. But all I often hear is, as the lines are cast beside me,
yes,
out the island, Motueko, and then a retrieve. And quite, I mean, really, after having fished those small streams for so many years now, they work a beat. They're just off the drop-off, and dependent on how high the lake level is at the time is where that drop-off is. Sometimes it's further out, sometimes it's further in. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of knowing where it is, and you watch your little piece of pumice, because you can usually see it even at night time. You see it just bobble off the edge. You know that's where the lip is, and that's where the fish are. That's in the smaller streamers. And it is often the case, it's, once again, it's got nothing to do with what you've got on the end of your fly line. You could use a hook with a toothbrush. I often say to people, irrespective of what colour, really, you could. And you'd catch fish if you're in the right spot and you think about what you're doing.
Okay, you've got to be in you've got to fish where the fish are.
I think that in actual fact, a lot of it is actually learning where the fish are, but also actually thinking about what you're doing. And also, the wind can enhance your fishing. Can also be a pain. The other thing is too, once again, is I fish on the beach. I don't actually fish in the water, always have done, and that tends to allow the fish to come to you.
Yeah, good thinking. So, all right, excellent work. Thank you, Stella. Now, your contact details, please.
07386 8953. We're open 7 days, 7 till 7, and look, more than happy to take a phone call if someone needs a tip or a bit of information.
Well, there's the offer angler, Stella Gordon. The store at Turangaita, right by the banks of the Tauranga Taupo River, 07386 8953. Thank you, Stella.
You're welcome. Have a great week.
Talk to you next week.
Will do.
Thank
Cheers.
You. Bye. Stella Gordon. Okay. Now, we can't get hold of Justin Cahill, obviously. We'll have to catch up with him next week. We've just got time for... I think we've got time for the fly fishing tip of the week. Let's have a look. Okay, now we'll have a quick break and then the fly fishing tip of the week. Listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. The Fly Fishing Tip of the Week. Remember that the first cast to a given spot affords the best opportunity for a strike. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. We'll be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.